and welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. In area news headlines, Bellevue to host music festival this summer. Dateline Bellevue, Iowa. Bellevue will host a music festival this summer. Bellevue Area Chamber of Commerce will hold Jam at the Dam event from 2 to 11 p.m. June 1, according to an online announcement. The event will be held in the municipal parking lot at Lock and Dam number 12. The event features scheduled performances by Twisted Creek, South Ballin, Shotgun Charlie, Whiskey River, and Ryan and the Moonshiners. Food will be available for purchase, and kids' activities will be held from 2 to 5 p.m. Public swap meet planned for Mr. Peanut Collectors Convention in Dyersville. Dateline Dyersville, Iowa's public swap meet of Mr. Peanut memorabilia will be held this week as part of the Midwest Chapter Convention of Peanut Pals. The swap meet will be held from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday, May 4th at Comfort Inn Dyersville, 527 16th Avenue Southeast. Peanut Pals is a collecting group founded in 1978. Group members collect memorabilia related to Planters and Mr. Peanut. The Midwest Convention will be held for 2 days beginning Friday, May 3rd. Call 319-842-2629 for more information. Again, that number is 319-842-2629 for more information. Early spring cleanup events set for Saturday at Dateline Earlville, Iowa. Earlville will hold a spring cleanup and large item pickup event this weekend. Items must be placed at a resident's normal pickup site by 7 a.m. Saturday, May 4th. Appliances, tires, and all monitors and televisions require a tag that may be purchased at Earlville City Hall, 19 Northern Avenue. Call By County Disposal Office at 563-875-9076 or 866-525-4506 for more information. Dubuque County High School to hold fundraising plant sale. Dateline Dyersville, Iowa. A local high school will hold a fundraising plant sale. Dyersville Beckman Catholic High School spring plant sale event will be held from 3 to 6 p.m. May 7th at from 3 to 6 p.m. May 9th and from 8 to 11 a.m. May 11th at the school, 1325 9th Street Southeast. Proceeds support the school's FFA organization and greenhouse maintenance. Bike ride, spring fling event planned in Elizabeth. Dateline Elizabeth, Illinois. An annual bike ride and a free community event will take place in Elizabeth this weekend. The Galena Goats Cycling Club's annual Ride the Ups and Downs event will begin with a check-in from 7 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Saturday, May 4th at CTE Academy, 95 U.S. 20 West in Elizabeth, according to an online event announcement. The annual one-day tour allows riders to choose from three different marked routes through Javis County, which are 32, 52, and 63 miles long, respectively. The ride will be held rain or shine. Registration is $35 and can be completed in advance online at bikereg.com, ride the bikes ups and downs, or in person on the day of the event. Those who register in advance will receive a free pair of goat socks, which will be available for purchase on race day. For more information, visit goatcycling.com. Also Saturday, the Elizabeth Chamber of Commerce will host the community's annual spring fling from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the Villages Park. The free event features bounce houses, a petting zoo, an ice cream eating contest, various sales at local stores, and many other activities. For more information, visit Energize Elizabeth on Facebook. BizBuzz, Dubuque Consignments Shop expands. Local landscaper grows footprint. Manchester Wellness Facility opens this week. This column is by Grace Nyland, grace.nyland at thmedia.com. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from across the tri-states. This edition highlights developments in Dubuque and Manchester, Iowa. A Dubuque consignment store has more than doubled its local footprint after recent expansion. Primrose Dubuque recently expanded at 1000 Cedar Cross Road. The store previously shared the building with Tri-State Kitchens, the owner of which recently retired after approaching Primrose Rose owner Samantha Wright about taking over the space. "I've always had plans to grow in the future, but I didn't know when or where until he told me he was retiring," Wright said. I was on the side of the building with the warehouse section, but now I have the whole building and the main entrance. Primrose offers a variety of clothing and accessories for men and women. It opened in 2022 in a small boutique space at a Dubuque salon before later moving to the building on Cedar Cross. The store operates on a consignment basis, Wright explained, meaning she takes in items from a variety of clients for resale and then splits a portion of the revenue with them once the items sell. Wright reviews each item before it hits the store's floor, she said, to ensure the shop only offers high-quality merchandise without any defects, stains, or tears. I try to be pretty picky about what I take. Most of the stuff either still has the tags on it or has only been worn a couple times, Wright said. My goal is that everything brought in by a consigner goes out in someone else's hands. The recent expansion allowed Wright to grow her offerings and take on more consigners, she said. The space is set up like a modern boutique, she explained, to prevent customers from getting confused or overwhelmed. Sometimes you go to a thrift store and it's like, oh, I don't know where to start, she said. I really didn't want that, so I set it up in a very simple way. There's something for everyone, really. Primrose is open from noon to 6 p.m., Wednesday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. The store already is operating in its expanded space, although an official grand opening is set for May 11th. Dubuque Landscaping Business grows. A Dubuque Landscaping Business has expanded its service area with the goal of tackling jobs large and small. Property Rescue has operated in the Dubuque area since 2018, but this spring has expanded to cover much of the tri-state area, said owner Eric Avenarius. Newly covered areas include Galena, Illinois, Platteville, Wisconsin, Dyersville, Iowa, and more. We decided to expand out about a 50-mile radius, Avenarius said. We just wanted to expand our base to keep busy and get our name out there. Property Rescue specializes in landscaping work such as yard cleanups, tree removals, mulching, and more. The recent expansion was prompted by a desire to grow the business's clientele, Avenarius explained, with a particular goal of ensuring demand during slower seasons. Avenarius said the majority of current clients are older residents who need assistance keeping their yard in shape, although the business works with public and private clients of all ages and landscaping needs. Once we get a call somewhere new, it seems like people see us out there and want to give us a call too, so we're hoping to keep up with the momentum, Avenarius said. We're really in this to help people. Property Rescue offers services 7 days a week. With spring in full bloom, businesses picking up new clients can still contact Avenarius for work at 563-552-9850. Manchester Wellness Facility opens this week. A new wellness facility is set to open in Delaware County with a focus on self-care as healthcare. Riverview Wellness will open Wednesday, May 1, at 102 Legion Street in Manchester. The 7,000-square-foot facility will offer a wide variety of spa services such as massage sessions, facials, halotherapy, and more. The facility also staffs a mental health counselor and a dietitian. The idea behind it all is self-care as healthcare, said owner and esthetician Anna Dries. When somebody walks in the door, we want to be treating the whole person, not just one part of them. Riverview Wellness brings multiple independent providers under one roof, Dries explained. That allows providers across the different modalities to collaborate and help clients approach wellness in a holistic manner. The spa will offer one-on-one services and group classes, and the space will also include a menu of food and drink items from Blended, a Dyersville-based health cafe. The team that has really come together here really is an absolute A-team, said Operations Manager Amy Whitman. In such a busy world, we're all here to make this a place where people can find some peace and tranquility. Dries said she hopes to curate an atmosphere of, quote, comfort and, quote, care at the spa, adding that the space has a strict no-judgment policy that allows people to come in and center their own well-being. She added that she's especially excited to offer the atmosphere and those services in a rural area like Manchester. Currently, she said, people need to drive an hour or more for many of the services Riverview might soon will offer right in town. In rural areas, we don't always get the same experiences as people living in bigger cities without having to travel, Dries said. I'm really excited to offer this here locally so people can get that experience closer to home. Riverview Wellness will be open 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with select weekend hours. Additional information about the business can be found online at riverview-wellness.com. Business tip sought. Do you have an interesting story idea or news tip to share about a local business? Ideas can be shared with business reporter Grace Nyland at grace.nyland@thmedia.com or by calling her at 563-588-5647. Galena Nonprofit to hold Honey Class, Dateline Galena, Illinois. A Galena Nonprofit will hold two classes dedicated to honey. Honey Tasting 101 will be held from 6 to 7 p.m. Friday, May 3rd, and from 6 to 7 p.m. June 7th at Galena Art and Recreation Center, 11084 West U.S. 20. Participants attend class on one of those dates. The course consists of a one-hour guided honey tasting and a discussion by a local beekeeper. The cost is $25. Register online at galenaarc.org/honey-tasting101. Cashville Ferry. Cassville Ferry offering Princess Prince Cruise. Dateline Cassville, Wisconsin. Cassville Tourism is hosting a Princess and Prince voyage aboard the Pride of Cassville on the Mississippi River on Tuesday, May 21. The complimentary evening cruise begins at 5:30 p.m. at the ferry landing for a ferry flash mob that will be live on the Cassville webcam. Boarding begins at 5:45 p.m. with departure at 6 p.m. Cruise features games, prizes, and costume judging. The ferry will dock at 7 p.m. Once in Cassville, discounts will be available for participants from Amelia Streets, Sun Chasers Social Club, the Neighborhood Slush, and Tway's Lighthouse Lounge. Costume awards will be given in the following categories: Hairiest Ferryman, Hairiest Ferry Women, Funkiest Ferry, and Court of the Ferry, in 4-H categories 0 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 10, and 11 to 13. The rain date is Wednesday, May 22nd. For more information, visit tourism at CassvilleVLGWI.gov. Neighborhood Cleanup of a Community Event planned in Manchester, Dateline Manchester, Iowa. An event featuring a neighborhood cleanup, wellness screening, street plantings, and more will take place in Manchester next month. Creating a Healthy Community will be held from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, May 10, in Central Park in Manchester, according to a press release. The event is a partnership between East Central Intergovernmental Agency, the City of Manchester, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and Manchester Hometown Pride. The event will begin with a neighborhood cleanup for all ages, with gloves and other supplies provided. Children's games, inflatables, tree plantings, educational booths, and free health screenings will be offered, and lunch will be available for purchase, with proceeds going to the Manchester Dog Park Project. During the event, federal HUD, that's Housing and Urban Development, representatives will join with local leaders to highlight the impact of the ECIA's Lead Paint and Healthy Homes program, which utilizes federal funds to provide federal financial assistance to low and moderate income property owners to reduce lead-based paint hazards. The public can join a trolley tour at 1 p.m. to view 7 of the 20 Manchester homes renovated through the program since 2021. To volunteer for the cleanup or to host an educational booth at the event, contact Dan Lobianco at dlobianco@ecia.org or call him at 563-500-8500. Summer course to teach kayaking basics in Manchester, Dateline Manchester, Iowa. Four-session summer course will introduce participants to whitewater kayaking. Northeast Iowa Community College Manchester Center will offer introduction to whitewater kayaking, beginning with an orientation from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. July 21 at the Kramer Aquatic Center, 200 Stearns Drive. Subsequent sessions will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. on both July 22 and July 24th, and from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. July 27th, all at Manchester Whitewater Park, 300 West Main Street. The course is offered through a cooperative agreement between Linn County Conservation, City of Manchester Parks and Recreations, and the NICC. Cost is $95. Visit nicc.edu/Manchester or call 844-642-2338. Extension 7700 for more information. Love that lasts. Being the right partner, important part of Dubuque couples 54 years together. Gary and Jane Schuster were married on April 25, 1970 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Ryan. This story is by Michelle London, michelle.london@thmedia.com. They didn't know it at the time, but Gary Schuster and Jane McElliott were the only one degree of separation away from each other nearly their entire lives, thanks to Gary's cousin. In 1967, Gary, who had grown up in New Vienna in Dyersville, Iowa, was an 18-year-old Navy aviation mechanic stationed in Florida, who was home on emergency leave when his father got sick and passed away. As sad as the visit home was, he did take time to attend his cousin Janice Evers' graduation party. 16-year-old Jane lived in Ryan, Iowa, and was excited to attend her lifelong best friend's graduation celebration. When she spotted Gary, she immediately asked Janice's dad who he was. He had been in Florida and was very toned and very brown, said the now Jane Schuster, 73. He had beautiful blue eyes and a wonderful smile, and I was just drawn to that smile. I thought, who's that? Jane didn't know it then, but Gary had asked his uncle about Jane. She got out of that car and just the way she looked when she smiled. Gary, now 75, said, we just started talking. She was easy to talk to. The pair made an instant connection at that party, but Gary was going to have to go back to Florida in 3 days, and then he was shipping out to Vietnam. So they made the most of the time they had. Picked me up from work. Then we did something kids today probably don't understand. We drove around, and we talked. He said to me, will you write me? And I said I would. Then that Sunday, he went to church with me. And to me, that was pretty impressive. Jane attended nursing school and began working at Mercy Hospital in Dubuque. Gary served on the aircraft carrier USS Constellation, which patrolled waters off both North and South Vietnam. He would also serve on the USS Forrestal, a supercarrier that deployed to the Mediterranean during Gary's time on it. When Gary was back stateside in the summer of 1969, he and Jane arranged to meet in Georgia so they could see each other again. One of my good friends lived in Atlanta, he said. So she flew in, and we stayed there. We got engaged over that weekend. Over spaghetti dinner, Jane added. He got down on his knee and everything. Gary's service in the Navy was completed soon after that, and they began planning their wedding. They married April 25th, 1970 at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Ryan. They recently celebrated their 54th anniversary. After a Niagara Falls honeymoon, they settled in Dubuque in an apartment on Hill Street. Eventually, they moved to a home on Theta Street, where they raised their 3 children, Tony, Amy, Schubert, and Nick. They also have 7 grandchildren, with 1 more on the way. Nick of Omaha, Nebraska, remembers a family where faith was paramount. That was probably the center point of our family and my parents' relationship, he said. They both work, but every Sunday, come rain, shine, or snow, whatever, we went to church. Even on family vacations, they would find a local church to attend Sunday Mass. No matter where we were, we'd always look for a church, Jane said. After working a few jobs, Gary trained as an insurance agent for Farmers Insurance. He eventually opened his own agency, which he has operated for 54 years so far. Jane had a 48-year career as a nurse at Mercy Hospital, spending most of it in the NICU. She also became a BIRDS board-certified lactation consultant and began with fellow nurse Kathy Murphy, first lactation program at Mercy. She retired in 2016. But then, in 2018, I began as a nursing tutor, she said. For the past 6 years, Jane has worked a few days a week tutoring students at Northeast Iowa Community College in Piasta, Iowa. Gary also coaches girls basketball at Wallert High School and has been a softball coach as well. The couple is very involved at St. Anthony's Catholic Church, particularly with Marriage Encounter and a faith-sharing group with several other couples. They're both really active in service, Nick said. They've both been rectors and chaplains in every other position in the church. And those groups they're involved in are just about religion. Those people become close friends that they often socialize with. 16 years ago, Gary and Jane sold their home on Theta Street, where they had lived for over 30 years. While most people are downsizing to smaller homes later in life, the Schusters upsized so there'd be room for children and grandchildren to visit and spread out. The kids are gone. They've got grandkids now, Nick said. I think they're kind of like, we did the blood, sweat, and tears part. Now we're going to rip the reward and enjoy those results. Nick will be accompanying Gary next month on an honor flight to Washington, D.C., something he and his father are looking forward to. We're excited about that, he said. Just another example of how my dad has served. Gary and Jane have also spent their marriage serving each other. Sometimes we're kind to other people, but the person we're closest gets the leftover, Jane said. Make each other a priority. He gets up and brings me a cup of coffee every morning. And he doesn't even drink coffee. As an adult, Nick said he's fascinated by how his parents' relationship has changed through the years. A big one for me is their unconditional love. It's been really interesting to see it from the adult side now and see how their dynamic has changed over the years. And they get it. I don't know how they figured it out, but they did. They're together because they want to be. Surrounding their marriage with positive people has been one of the keys to their success. I think being close to people who are committed and who are good people is important in marriage, Jane said. Socializing with people of the same values and life beliefs just enriches and strengthens you. Gary said he thinks it's important that people considering marriage shouldn't be looking just at their future spouse, but should look at themselves. It's not just about marrying the right partner, he said. It's also about being the right partner. Do you know a long married couple? Love That Lasts is a series highlighting local couples who have been married for at least 50 years. To nominate a couple to be featured in the series, contact reporter Michelle London at 563-588-5655 or email her at michelle.london@thmedia.com. Be sure to include the couple's names, city of residence, contact information, how long the two have been married, and their wedding date. Police investigate shooting in Dubuque. Man arrested on drug weapons charges. Dubuque police are investigating a shooting that occurred early Sunday morning in Dubuque. As part of the investigation, a man was arrested on a weapon and drug charges. Detrion M. Adams, 29, of 15462 Lewis Road, number 10, was arrested at 6:56 a.m. Sunday at the Glenview Motel. 1050 Rockdale Road on charges of dominion or control of a firearm by a felon and possession of marijuana. Dubuque Police Department Lieutenant Luke Bach said a shooting occurred at approximately 12:01 a.m. Sunday in the vicinity of Stafford and High Streets. We're still investigating, Bach said. Although shell casings were found at the scene, Bach said there have been no reports of damage or injuries related to the shooting. A witness and traffic camera footage identified a red vehicle in the area at the time of the shooting, to court documents state. Bach said traffic camera footage shows that the vehicle traveled to the Glenview following the shooting and police responded to the motel. Court documents state that officers met with Adams at the motel. Adams denied ownership of the vehicle and denied being anywhere near the shooting, documents state. Surveillance footage at the motel shows Adams checking into the facility while wearing a hat that matched the hat located inside the red vehicle, documents state. Officers obtained a search warrant for Adams' motel room. During the search, officers located a 50-round box of .40-caliber ammunition in a cardboard box next to the bed and a loaded .40-caliber handgun with a 22-round magazine in the bed underneath the blanket, documents state. The handgun rounds located in the room matched the shell casings located at the shooting scenes, documents state. A check of Adams' criminal history shows he has a previous felony conviction in Cook County, Illinois. Bach said additional charges are possible in the case. The incident marks the fourth case of shots fired with criminal intent this year in Dubuque. NICC plans business summit event on May 15th. Dateline Piazza, Iowa. A nationally known corporate speaker will deliver the keynote address at an upcoming business event in Dubuque County. Dustin E. James will speak at Northeast Iowa Community College's Business Summit 2024, according to an online announcement. The event will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. May 15th at the school's Piazza campus, 8342 NICC Drive. The topic of James' address is Elevate Your Everyday. James is an entrepreneur, a TEDx speaker, and a John Maxwell Certified Leadership Coach. The cost is $169. Register online at tinyurl.com/NICCBizSummit04. Local students named U.S. Presidential Scholars Program candidates and semifinalists. Eight local students have been named candidates for the 2024 U.S. Presidential Scholars Programs, one of the nation's highest honors for graduating high school seniors, and two have been named semifinalists. More than 5,000 of the nearly 3.6 million students expected to graduate this year were selected as candidates for the program, according to a press release from Butte Community Schools. Over 600 of those candidates were then selected as semifinalists, and the U.S. Department of Education is expected to announce up to 161 presidential scholars in May. Students are based on their academic and artistic achievements, leadership, character, and school and community involvements. Dubuque senior high school student Caitlin Akiko Kono was recognized as a semifinalist in the U.S. Presidential Scholars Program, while Fenimore, Wisconsin high school student Tyson James Gerke was recognized as a semifinalist for the U.S. Presidential Scholars in Career and Technical Education, according to the U.S. Department of Education website. The following tri-state students were recognized as candidates: Robert Albright from Mineral Point, Wisconsin High School, Hannah Davidson from Hempstead High School in Dubuque, Charlie Driscoll from Hempstead High School, Emma Mason from Belmont, Wisconsin High School, Hector Mendez from Cuba City, Wisconsin High School, Isabel Rioter from Maquoketa, Iowa High School. Iowa Legislature changes state government structure, local government authority. Story by Benjamin Fisher, benjaminfisher@thmedia.com. In its recent session, the Iowa Legislature passed several bills that either change the way the state government does its business or change the authority local governments have to do theirs. Several of the state government changes included eliminating citizen advisory boards and commissions, eliminating gender balance requirement on those that remain, combining mental health/disability services and substance abuse regions, reducing reporting requirements for state government agencies, and allowing state departments to skirt the state auditor's oversight. The legislature also passed several changes for Iowa's local government entities, some restricting authorities, others increasing flexibilities. Those included legislation that disrupts the city of Dubuque's plans to implement a traffic camera program and would restrict cities and counties' regulations of stormwater runoff from construction sites, among others. The legislature's income tax cut acceleration also included further tweaks to cities and counties' properties tax authority and allows county supervisors to eliminate compensation boards, which in part determine elected officials' pay. Plans to combine, eliminate, or change the state boards and commissions, typically unpaid, voluntary boards which advise state government officials on a wide variety of topics, drew significant attention before the 2024 session began. It was based on a study and recommendation the boards and commissions conducted in 2023. The final legislation passed this year, mostly along party lines, with Republicans for and Democrats against. Eliminate 74 of the state's previous 256 boards and commissions and merge 9 others into 3 new boards. Another bill eliminated the state's requirement that board and commission membership be gender balanced. Assistant Senate Majority Leader Senator Kerry Kluker R. Dyersville celebrated both changes as improvements to government efficiency. "We want to make sure the most qualified people serve on those boards," she said, "and there seemed to be an oversaturated lineup of boards and commissions from last year. This was part 2 of our government realignment after what we did last year with departments." House Minority Whip Lindsey James, D. Dubuque, agreed that the boards and commission changes were consistent with the realignment championed by Governor Kim Reynolds in 2023, but she believes the changes were about consolidating power under Reynolds, not about efficiency. Reorganization of boards and commissions was a similar move to prohibit the public from weighing in on some things the governor wants to decide on her own, James said. "Our boards exist primarily for the safety and well-being of Iowans and engage the public and government decisions about their well-being. They hold the government accountable around things that to everyday Iowans are important." The legislature's Republican majority also passed bills that reduced reporting requirements of state agencies, strategic planning efforts, and data collection, and further reduced reporting requirements from the Iowa Health and Human Services Department specifically. Republicans also passed a bill to allow state departments to acquire private auditors rather than be audited by the elected state auditor's office, currently held by the state's only elected statewide elected Democrat, Auditor Rob Sand. Iowa Representative Chuck Eisenhart, a Dubuque Democrat, said the Republican majority failed to regulate matters that he believed would help Iowans. No relief was offered to landowners facing condemnation for carbon dioxide pipelines, Eisenhart said in an email. Meanwhile, both the Iowa Utilities Board and General Assembly have failed to meaningfully address the gaping void of state policy on carbon sequestration and greenhouse gas reduction. Beyond accelerating their 2022 income tax cut to a 3.8% flat tax rate beginning in 2025, Republican lawmakers also passed a bill to put a state constitutional amendment on the ballot that would require a supermajority of future legislatures to increase income taxes beyond a flat rate. The legislature would also have to pass the amendment resolution in one of the next two sessions for it to be placed on the ballot. Iowa Representative Shannon Lundgren, R. Piasta, celebrated the amendment resolution in an interview. "The people have to vote on that," she said. "If Iowans say we don't like it, that will fail. But we're giving them the opportunity to make that choice." Senate Minority Leader Pam Yoakum, D. Dubuque, said the Republicans' income tax cut threatens the state budget security for little impact on most Iowans. "For those who have $10,000 taxable income, they will actually see a $5 a year tax cut," she said. "Those at medium income, $60,000 to $70,000 a year, would get about $50 a month. The multimillionaires, again, make out quite well." The Republican tax bill this session also changed property tax revenue restrictions the legislature passed with bipartisan support last year. It creates revenue growth tiers for both cities and counties rather than the limits of 3% and 6% for counties before automatic levy reductions. Kelker defended the property tax changes and said other tax changes this year will help some local governments. "At the end of the day, we're trying to protect taxpayers," she said. The tax bill also allows counties to eliminate the compensation boards that recommend raises for elected officials each year. The legislature also passed bills that ban local governments from regulating stormwater runoff from construction sites beyond state and federal levels, as well as a bill putting a moratorium on cities installing traffic cameras. Kelker lauded that change and said more restrictions on traffic cameras were likely to come. Buick Mayor Brad Kavanaugh said on a number of fronts that including traffic cameras, legislatures stop infringing on local control. You are listening to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald on Tuesday, April 30th, 2024 on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Greg C. J. Seagrand. Greg John Seagrand, or Seagrand, 74, of Dubuque, passed away peacefully at home on Sunday, April 28, 2024, after a short battle with Alzheimer's and pancreatic cancer. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. until 10:45 a.m. Thursday, May 2, 2024, at Hoffenschneider Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory. A prayer service will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, May 2, 2024, at Hoffenschneider Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory with Deacon Dave Roth as a celebrant. Entombment will be held at Mount Calvary Cemetery in Dubuque. Full military honors will be rendered by American Legion Post No. 6. Greg was born April 24, 1950, the oldest of four children to Ralph and Mary Seagrand. Greg graduated from Wellard High School in Hawkeye Tech and started his career shortly after at John Deere Dubuque Works, where he worked as a machinist in the tool and die room. He was drafted into the United States Army and was stationed in Korea during the Vietnam War. After returning home, he continued to work at Deere, retiring after 30 years. After his retirement, he worked in the golf shop at Thunder Hills for 10 years. He married his high school sweetheart, Cindy Hirsch, in 1972 at the Church of the Nativity in Dubuque. He was a devoted father to his two children, Aaron Jessica Seagrand and Molly Kurt Deutsch, and was best known as Pops to his four grandchildren, Mason and Riley Seagrand, and Nolan and Mara Deutsch, and his granddogs. The family motto is always be kind. Greg's free time was spent with golf league in the summer and a pool league in the winter. He spent many years on the board of Iowa High School Hockey League. Greg was fortunate to get the opportunity to join an honor flight to D.C. in 2022. One of his favorite pastimes was having coffee with his peeps. He is survived by his wife, Cindy Seagrand, two children, four grandchildren, as well as his sisters, nieces, and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents. Family would like to extend a special thank you to Hospice of Dubuque. In lieu of flowers and gifts, a memorial has been established. A photo tribute can be viewed, and condolences can be sent to the family by visiting Greg's obituary at www.hskfhcares.com. Donnie Miller. Donnie Miller, 79, of Dubuque, died Monday, April 29, 2024. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, May 2nd at Hoffenschneider Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road. Services will be at 10 a.m. Friday, May 3rd at the funeral home. Burial will take place at Mount Calvary Cemetery at a later date. Joan Schmidt. Dayland, Piasta, Iowa. Joan Schmidt, 90, of Piasta, died Sunday, April 28th, 2024. Wake service will be held at 3:45 p.m. Thursday, May 2nd at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road, where visitation will follow until 7 p.m. Mass of Christian Burial will be held at 10:30 a.m. Friday, May 3rd at Holy Family Catholic Church in New Melorad. James E. Hunter, Dateline Monticello, Iowa. James E. Hunter, 66, of Monticello, died Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. to noon, Saturday, May 4th, at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Monticello, where services will follow. Interment will take place at a later date. Kramer Funeral Home of Dyersville is assisting the family. Larry L. Ahrensdorf, Dateline Maquoketa, Iowa. Larry L. Ahrensdorf, 77, of Maquoketa, died Thursday, April 25th. A celebration of life will be held from 1 to 4 p.m. Saturday, June 15th, at Wybenga Lumberyard in Maquoketa. Carson Celebration of Life Center of Maquoketa is assisting the family. Thomas B. Shaw, Dateline Mount Carroll, Illinois. Thomas B. Shaw, 76, of Mount Carroll, died Saturday, April 27th. A celebration of life will be held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. June 16th at Manny's Pizza in Savannah. Paul Jones Funeral Home of Mount Carroll is assisting the family. Lillian C. Nury, Dyersville, Iowa. Lillian C. Nury, 90, of Dyersville and formerly of Petersburg, passed away Sunday, April 27th at the Mercy One Senior Care in Dyersville. A visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, May 2nd at Kramer Funeral Home in Dyersville. Visitation will continue from 9 to 10 a.m. Friday at the funeral home prior to the funeral mass. A Mass of Christian Burial will be held at 10:30 a.m. Friday, May 3rd at St. Francis Xavier Basilica in Dyersville. Burial in the church cemetery. Reverend Chris Podhaski will officiate. Lillian was born December 24, 1933 in Greeley, Iowa, the daughter of George and Amelia Millie Lentner Werner. She married Ralph Nury October 26, 1954 in Worthington, Iowa. Together they farmed and raised their family near Petersburg until moving to Dyersville in 1986. She was a member of St. Francis Xavier Basilica, the daughter Catholic Daughters of America, Court St. Rose, and 4-H, to which she donated her time and tried to keep up with those friends as the years passed by. She was known for being a housekeeper for 30 years, working for many families and businesses in the area. She worked hard all of her life as a daughter and wife on the farms. Lily enjoyed growing, giving, displaying, and receiving flowers, taking trips to listen and dance to old country music, visiting family and friends, playing cards, and any birds, cats, dogs she encountered were greeted with enthusiasm and joy. Her greatest joy was her grandchildren and grandchildren getting dressed up for Halloween, playing games at Christmas, Easter egg hunts, picnics, and games at the parks. She had as much fun as they did. Her favorite park was Swiss Valley, where a bench will be donated in her name. Survivors include her children, Dennis Karen Nury and Daryl Rose Nury, both of Dyersville, Diane Lonnie Osborne of Dubuque, and Deborah Brian Greenwood of Epworth, and many other relatives. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband Ralph in 2023, son Daniel Nury, daughter, granddaughter, Christy Nury, and other relatives. We would like to thank the staff of Hospice of Dubuque and Mercy One Senior Care for their compassionate care. Kramer Funeral Home in Dyersville is assisting the family, and information is available at www.kramerfuneral.com. Memorials may be sent to the family in care of the funeral home at 750 12th Avenue Southwest, Dyersville, Iowa, 52040. Sharon K. Carney, online, Dateline Onslow, Iowa. Sharon K. Carney, 75, of Onslow, Iowa, passed away Saturday, April 27th at her home in rural Onslow, Iowa, surrounded by her family. In accordance with Sharon's request, there will be no public visitation or services. A private burial will be held in Calvary Cemetery in Cascade. Wright Funeral Home in Cascade is assisting the family. She was born June 23, 1948 in Dubuque. On September 16, 1967, she was united in marriage to Wayne Carney at St. Lawrence Catholic Church in Otter Creek, Iowa. Sharon loved her family and spending quality time with her grandchildren. She loved attending her children's sporting events, playing cards, trips to the apple orchard, mushroom hunting, picnics, gardening, and being outside. She was survived by her husband of 56 years, Wayne Carney of Onslow, two children, Pam Brett Harderson of Monticello, Iowa, Brian Angie Carney of Scotch Grove, four grandchildren, and other relatives. Family would like to thank Above and Beyond Hospice Care. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be sent to Wayne Carney, 16063 60th Avenue, Onslow, Iowa, 52321. Online condolences may be sent to the family at in care of Rife Funeral Home. Paul M. Thompson, Sr., Dateline Richmond, Virginia. Paul M. Thompson, Sr. of Richmond and Mary Point, Virginia, passed away April 25th. He is survived by his loving wife, Marianne, his five children and their spouses, Anne Marie Steen, Dan, Patricia Thompson, Buff, Chip, Paul Thompson, Jr., Jessica, Tim Thompson, Beth, and Jim Thompson, Allison. He is also survived by nine grandchildren and other relatives. He was born in 1935 in Dubuque, Iowa, the son of Frank and Genevieve Cassatt Thompson. He was the youngest of five children, raised in a devout Catholic family. He spent the first 21 years of his life in Dubuque, and he worked at the family grocery store and pursued his education. In 1957, he graduated from Loras College with magna cum laude honors. Later that year, he moved to Washington, D.C. to study law at Georgetown Law Center, completing the program in 2 years. In 1959, he became a published member of the Georgetown Law Review, on which he served. After passing the Washington, D.C. bar, he entered the United States Air Force as a first lieutenant and judge advocate. Paul and Mary were married at Andrews Air Force Base, Maryland, and were stationed at Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, New Mexico. During his 3 years of service, he and Mary introduced two young daughters to the world, which was a grip of the Cold War. He never forgot how the Cuban Missile Crisis unfolded just outside of their window as the Air Force prepared for war. In December 1962, he and Mary moved their family to Northern Virginia and welcomed their oldest son. Paul worked as an appellate lawyer with the National Labor Relations Board, where he argued in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in what would become the life-changing case in Richmond, Virginia. He argued against Hutton and Williams. The firms respected his tenacity and love for the law and recruited Paul into the firm, making him an associate in March 1966. Paul moved the family to Richmond, where he and Mary added two sons for a total of five children, guaranteeing a future of lively dinner conversations and Thanksgiving football games. In 1971, he became the 40th partner at Hunton and Williams. In 1981, he became head of the Labor and Employment Department, a position he held for the next 2 decades. After retiring, he worked for the Attorney General's Office and taught law at William and Mary Law School. 2 years later, he took a job at University of Richmond Law School, where he taught employment law and labor law, civil procedure, and created an innovative course that explored labor laws in a dynamic global economy. In 2013, he retired from teaching to spend more time at the family's house overlooking the Corotoman River, having never forgotten his roots in Iowa and love for the Mississippi River. He and his family also shared countless memories, fishing and crabbing, celebrating milestone, and eating Mary's renowned home cooking. He was also involved in many organizations and the Finance Council of St. Bridget's Church, and he was a speaker at many conferences. The family would like to thank the wonderful staff at Rappahannock, Westminster, Canterbury, where he spent his final days. A wake will be held Friday, May 3rd from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Curry Funeral Home in Kilmarnock, Virginia, with the wake service beginning at 7 p.m. A funeral mass will be held at 10 a.m. at St. Francis Sales Church in Kilmarnock, Virginia, Saturday, May 4th. David J. Gogol, Dateline Dyersville, Iowa. David J. Gogol, 72, of Dyersville, passed away at home, surrounded by his family, Saturday, April 27th, after a courageous 22-month battle with pancreatic cancer. Visitation will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, April 30th, at Wright Funeral Home in Dyersville, where a prayer service will be held at 3:30 p.m. in Dyersville American Legion. Service will be held at 7:30 p.m. Visitation will continue after 9 a.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, May 1 at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Worthington, with Reverend Chris Pudge Haskey officiating. Co-celebrating will be Reverend Mark Osterhaus. Burial will be held in St. Paul Cemetery in Worthington with full military honors, afforded by a Dyersville American Legion Post 137. He was born October 3, 1951, in Manchester, the son of Thomas Veronica Fox and Vogel. He attended St. Paul's Grade School and graduated from Western Dubuque High School in 1969. He continued his studies in mechanical drafting at Kirkwood. After graduating from Kirkwood, he entered the U.S. Army Reserve, where he served for 6 years. He married Judy Berenger Gogol on June 25, 1977, at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Farley. David was a member of St. Paul Catholic Church in Worthington, Iowa, and served on various church boards throughout the years. He was a sales manager at Energy Manufacturing in Monticello, Iowa, for 42 years, while also nurturing his passion for farming throughout his career. He instilled his dedication to farming in his three sons, sharing his love for the land for them as they worked together to grow crops and raise livestock. He was a loving and devoted husband, father, grandfather who always prioritized his family. He cherished his time with them and found happiness in everyday moments they shared. Above all else, his greatest delight was spending time with grandchildren, attending activities and games. He was an avid participant in Euchre games within his card clubs, and he looked forward to yearly fishing trips and sharing in conversations. His smile brought joy to all. Those left to cherish his memory and carry on his legacy, including his wife, three children, Brian Stephanie of Monticello, Iowa, and their children, Scott Jill of Worthington, and their children, and Michael Alana of Worthington, Iowa, and their children, and other relatives. Those waiting to embrace David on the other side include his parents and other relatives. The family of David would like to thank Dr. Chandrika and care teams at University of Iowa Holden Comprehensive Care Center, the care team at Mercy One Dubuque Cancer Center, and the care team at Hospice of Dubuque. Online condolences can be sent to the family at www.rightfuneralhomeinc.com. Christopher Schmidt Faber. Christopher Schmidt Faber, 25, of Dubuque, passed away April 25th. Visitation week from 1 to 3 p.m. Wednesday, May 1 at the Eaglehoff Seeger and Casper Funeral Home and Crematory, 2659 JFK Road, Dubuque. Funeral services will immediately follow at 3 p.m. with Reverend Diane Grace officiating. He was born May 7, 1998, to Shane Faber and Missy Lampers. He graduated from Dubuque Senior High School, where he excelled in track and field. He loved to tinker and fix anything that was broken. He enjoyed playing video games, playing guitar, longboarding, and fishing. He particularly loved spending time outdoors, hiking, and exploring wildlife. He cherished his role as a father to Alice. Friends and family meant everything to him. He was the first to lend a helping hand to anyone. He was survived by his parents, Misty Mark Lampers, and Shane Terry Faber. Siblings Austin, Devin, Blake, Dalton, Colton, Brittany, Cole, Hunter, and Mark Jr. Fiance, Stacy Thill, daughter Alice. He is survived by grandparents, several aunts, uncles, numerous cousins. Christopher's family wishes to extend a special thank you to the East Dubuque Police Department and the Mercy Room staff at Mercy One Dubuque. Your kindness and compassion will never be forgotten. A Christopher Schmidt Faber Memorial Fund has been established. The Eaglehoff Secret and Casper Funeral Home and Crematory is entrusted with arrangements. Here's information about area funeral services. Barbara J. Burroughs, Galena, Illinois. Visitation, 9:30 to 11 a.m. Saturday, May 4th, Miller Funeral Home, East Dubuque. Memorial service, 11 a.m. Saturday at the funeral home. William Folger, Dubuque. Visitation, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Monday, June 17th. Hoffmansteiner and Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road. Clayton Greibel, Maquoketa, Iowa. Visitation, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. today. Visit First Lutheran Church, Maquoketa. Service, 2 p.m. today at the church. William Mitchell, Stockton, Iowa. Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, May 3rd. Hermit Funeral Home, Stockton. Service, 11 a.m. Saturday, May 4th. Calvary United Methodist Church, Stockton. Inez D. Nutt, Madison, Wisconsin. Wake service, 3:45 p.m. today. Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home and from 8:30 to 10 a.m. May 1. Sacred Heart Catholic Church, Mass of Christian Burial, 10 a.m. Wednesday at the church. Wilbert E. Post, Potosi, Wisconsin. Visitation, 9 to 11 a.m. today. Martin Schwartz Funeral Home and Crematory, Potosi. Service, 11 a.m. today at the funeral home. Theola A. Scaife, Preston. Celebration of Life, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday, May 4, Martin Schwartz Funeral Home, Lancaster, Wisconsin. Elaine A. Taylor, Cincinnati, Wisconsin. Service, 10 a.m. today, St. Dominic Villa, Cincinnati. William D. Smith, East Dubuque, Illinois. William D. Smith, 82, of Dubuque, died Sunday, April 28. No visitation or services will be held. Burial at a later date will be private. Leonard Funeral Home Crematory of Dubuque is assisting the family. D. Rodney Carson, Dateline, Maquoketa, Iowa. D. Rodney Carson, 85, of Maquoketa, died Saturday, April 27th. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday, May 3rd at Carson Celebration Life Center, and my coconut services will be held at 10:30 a.m. May 4th at the center. Burial will take place at Mount Hope Cemetery in Maquoketa. Here's a look at some other news. Authorities say one injured in a rollover crash in rural Lancaster, Lancaster, Wisconsin. Authorities said one person was injured last Wednesday when his vehicle entered a ditch, rolled over, and struck several objects. Thomas Bennett, 19, of rural Lancaster, was injured but refused transport to a hospital for treatment, according to a report from the Grant County Sheriff's Department. The crash occurred at about 10:30 p.m. April 24th on County Highway A west of Lancaster. The report states Bennett was driving west on County Highway A and he swerved to avoid a deer. He lost control of the vehicle and entered a ditch on the south side of the road. A vehicle then struck a mailbox, rolled an unknown number of times, hit a traffic sign, and came to rest in the ditch, the report states. According to the report, a friend of Bennett's attempted to pull the truck out of the ditch and remove it from the scene, but instead entered the ditch on the other side of the road. Bennett, who was unrestrained during the crash, had consumed alcohol prior to the crash. The report states he sustained minor injuries and was evaluated by emergency medical services staff but refused transport to a hospital. He was cited with violation of absolute sobriety and failure to maintain control of the motor vehicle. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Department reported the following. Dwayne A. Roth, 47, of 5327 Massey Station Road, was arrested at 11:15 p.m. Sunday in the 500 block of Fremont Avenue on the charges of possession of methamphetamine and possession of drug paraphernalia. Sebastian C. Gallego, 37, of 3475 Pennsylvania Avenue, number 3, was arrested at 8:25 p.m. Sunday at his residence on a warrant charging domestic assault of a pregnant person. Carrie L. Kaler, 54, of 635 West 11th Street, number 5, was arrested at 10:07 a.m. Sunday at Mercy One Dubuque Medical Center on his charge of first-degree harassment. Herbert R. Burdett, 28, of Alderson, West Virginia, was arrested at 4:09 a.m. Sunday in the 200 block West Street, 15th Street, on charges of unlawful possession of a prescription drug, possession of marijuana, and operating while intoxicated. Jeffrey J. Ducini, 36, of 2643 Central Avenue, was arrested at 7:11 p.m. Saturday in the 1900 block White Street on charges of second-degree harassment and interference with official acts with injury. Court documents state that a Buick Police Department officer sustained an injury while taking Ducini into custody. Derek T. Clark, 40, of 1458 White Street, was arrested at 9:25 a.m. Saturday at Dubuque Law Enforcement Center on a charge, warrant charging possession of meth and drostenolone. Larissa K. Greer, 26, of 4145 Bluebird Drive, was arrested at 9:09 p.m. Friday at a residence on charges of dominion or control of a firearm by a felon, secondary harassment, third degree, operating while intoxicated, and driving while barred. Platteville man found guilty of battery for 2021 altercation. Deadline New Diggings, Wisconsin. A Platteville man has been found guilty of battery for assaulting a man who stabbed him. A Lafayette County jury recently found Emil L. Melson, 46, guilty of substantial battery with intent to cause bodily harm and disorderly conduct. The jury acquitted Melson of a criminal property damage charge. A sentencing hearing has been set for June 17th. The charges stem from a 2021 altercation between Melson and Benjamin R. Everson, 36, then of Benton, Wisconsin. Court documents state Everson was sitting in his vehicle in New Diggings when Melson approached him. Authorities said Everson stabbed him, prompting him to punch Everson twice. Documents state Everson told authorities Melson struck him first, prompting him to stab Melson in self-defense. Melson was taken by ambulance. Southwest Health in Platteville will receive stitches for a puncture wound to the bicep and was released. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thank you very much for listening.